'Cause we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one. Yes, we're the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers number one.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston. Tonight, I'm joined by the Adderall. It's my Pat Summerall. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
Does Pat Summerall do Adderall?
Yeah. That's how he was able to call games for as long as he did.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Complete makes sense there.
I mean, you've heard him call games before. The Packers have the ball at the 42.
Troy
Aikman is back to pass, and he throws the hitch to Michael Irvin. And then John Madden comes in. You remember that?
I do, yes.
Yeah, they're the best.
They were the best because it was the best extreme of each side versus – I guess that's why CBS works now, though, too.
Oh, and Nance and Romo.
Yeah, because you have just too extreme, because Nance is just there to chill.
I wish Romo's getting a little bit chunkier, but I would love if Romo got real fat.
Oh, my God. Fat Romo would be amazing. Yeah.
It'd be a much better experience if Romo's real fat.
Oh, my God, because I feel like Fat Romo would be giving the world the middle finger even more, because he's already won at life.
Yeah.
So I feel like that if he were to get just fat, then he would win even more. And he would be like John Daly on the golf course. Man, people would love Fat Romo.
And I think he'd be jolly too, you know?
Oh, yeah, he would be. Oh, and if he was able to dress up as Santa every year because he was fat, they would get the Christmas games like no other. I would want Fat Romo to get Thanksgiving games, only him. I would want Fat Romo to do everything.
I want Fat Romo to do New Year's Eve. I want him to moderate the presidential debates.
That would actually be really
amazing.
I want
Fat Romo to be the president of this country.
I don't know about that. I need him as a commentator. I need him as a commentator.
He can do both.
If he wants to commentate on the entire country, or if he wants to be the spokesperson for the office, he could do that. I would love to listen to Fat Romo all day.
How about he's the spokesperson because he's smoking meats all day?
That's probably true. He would be the smokescreen because everybody would just want to talk to Romo and like learn about him and not know about anything else going on.
But really, Dick Cheney's the president the whole time.
Yes, that's
people forget about that.
Never forget.
People forget about that. So last weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend, I hate Super Wild Card Weekend now. It sucks.
Why? Is it because I'm champion?
No, there's just too many games.
Why, I'm champion?
Too many football games.
The problem is, and why you have a point, all of football, like, or not all of them, but most of them.
There's one good game.
Yeah. Yeah, most of them were completely ugly. So, overall, you would have to agree that the problem is the ratings, the money, it all says otherwise.
I know.
NFL won.
And we're to blame for it. I watched six football games last weekend. Six.
See? And that's the thing is that even for me, I sat there and watched the entire New England and Buffalo game without any type of fantasy. Do you know what that had to take for me to sit there and watch that game? My God.
Well, I mean, Allen was beautiful, you know.
Yeah, which I did enjoy seeing, but I actually felt bad for Mac Jones receivers there. Like, I go, come on, man. The guy doesn't throw down the field very often, and when he does, you guys are dropping the passes.
Yeah, the big miss was that slant and go to Nelson Aguilar, where he threw it too far inside and allowed Poyer or Hyde to come over and make the interception on that one. That one should go into the pylon.
Before that, his wide receivers were blowing it.
Well, I'm saying like that ball should go to the pylon, though. You know, well, I think Mac Jones was awful at all, but it's like he's a limited quarterback right now, and I just don't think he has like a high ceiling at all. You know,
but that's what I mean is that whenever, like you even said it. Like, he had to force a ball or he had to throw a ball deep in a double coverage there.
It was single, but the safety just made a great play.
He's shooting his ass over there.
Yeah.
everyone knew where it was going. But my thing with Mac Jones is, because he's not that great, to your point, you can't drop the balls then.
Well, he didn't drop. He just didn't.
I'm talking about the place before.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah. I think Mac Jones was by far away the best rookie quarterback this year. But, like, I think what Mac Jones is going to be in the future, like, I think he's probably like Jimmy Garoppolo, you know? Like, he can be, like, the 12th best quarterback.
That's a good comparison. I would say that him and Jimmy G are probably exactly alike. But I wouldn't even say 12. I mean, it's 15. And I don't see anything below that.
I'll just watch him turn into Tom Brady, though.
He's never going to turn into Tom Brady. They would be so limited to what he can do. And they're never going to give him free reigns like Tom Brady had the free reigns to do what he wanted.
Well, Tom Brady didn't have free reigns when he started off, you know?
Yeah, but my point is...
It took him like 5 years until they really let him sling it.
Do you think that they're going to let him do something?
Mac Jones?
Yes.
Maybe next year.
You're out of your damn mind.
I mean, I think the problem the Patriots have, though, right now is that they gave all this money. Aguilar wasn't very good. Jonnu Smith wasn't very good. The receivers they drafted, aside from Kendrick Bourne, haven't been very good. Their offensive line, you know, was great this year. They have a good backfield. Their cornerbacks couldn't play with Buffalo at all. Matt Judon doesn't win one-versus-one pass rushes and just, like, runs really hard and runs himself into sacks. Barmore's good. They don't have any linebackers because they're all old and, like, they were good 7 years ago. And they spent all this money, so they don't have very much cap space either. And they haven't drafted, you know, all that well. So, I don't know. I think they're kind of in a weird spot, you know?
No,
they're a strange team.
I agree to your point of they spent all this money for once and it didn't really pay off for them.
Yeah. I mean,
what do you do?
It got them to the wild card round.
And it got them a blowout loss.
I looked at the numbers, though. Wild card teams are 0-4 with a point differential, I believe, of -42. And that includes, you know, Philadelphia falling down 31-0. It includes, you know, Pittsburgh, I think, was down by 35 in that game against the Chiefs, where they were end up losing 42-21. Like, the only good, like, wild card game we had so far was Phillip Rivers having 14 plays and going 25 yards to try to kick a game-time field goal against the Bills last year. But we've had 4 wild card games. 3 of them have been bad. It's a dumb game. We shouldn't have it. The 7th seed's dumb. The extra week is dumb. But we're piggies, and we'll keep watching, you know.
I love that. No matter how dumb you say it is, you're never going to win this argument.
I hate it. Next year, though, I'm not watching Chiefs Steelers. I'm not watching Bucks Eagles.
By the way, wait. You sat there and watched Chiefs Steelers?
Yeah, I watched it.
Why would you watch that game?
I watched it until Allegretti scored that touchdown. And I was like, it's been over, but I was like, it's really over now.
No, that's the one that I had to boycott because, again, if you're not going to put Dallas Cowboys the late game, you don't deserve my watch.
Yeah, well, Mahomes has to be the late. He's the late game again this weekend, too.
You being serious?
Yeah.
What is? He cannot be that big of a draw.
Yeah, he's always the late game.
Oh, my God. That's just insane. It's got to be his younger brother. His younger brother's got to bring the following.
Yeah. I'm starting to turn around, Jackson. I think Patrick's the one.
No, you're not.
I made a TikTok just so I could follow Jackson Mahomes.
We should do a TikTok where every video he posts, you and I then copy it together.
Okay, that sounds good.
Doing the exact same things.
I need to learn some new dance moves for this summer.
Yeah, both you and I can't dance. That's why it'll be perfect.
I'm a good dancer. I feel it.
No, you're not.
If I feel it, I can dance. But sometimes I don't feel it sometimes, you know?
You sound like Vince Vaughn. I'm a good dancer. You're not a good dancer. Oh, we both know I'm a good dancer.
Yeah. All right. So I won't be able to go to your wedding, but you should learn some Jackson Mahomes TikToks for your wedding. So whenever you hit the dance floor.
And then just perform them?
Yeah.
And then it's like my wife could be like my sister-in-law with Patrick Mahomes' wife.
Perfect.
Where they do their dances together.
Yes.
It's going to be wonderful. She could wear like that blue jean jacket and I can wear some like ridiculous suede jacket. I think it would be the best ever.
I love it. It's a great idea.
Man, everything I just said there. That actually, I didn't even feel right coming out.
Yeah. And there's me monkeys howling in the background stuff.
Well, that
sounds like a great idea.
You always have to have howler monkeys.
Yeah, I love it. So last week in our picks, you went 5-1. The only game you missed was the Dallas Cowboys. I went 3-2. This weekend we have Tennessee Cincinnati at 3:30. Saturday night we got San Francisco Green Bay. Sunday afternoon we have Los Angeles Tampa, and Sunday night we got Buffalo Kansas City. Are you ready to rock?
I am, because, yeah, actually, I care about 3 out of 4 of these games, so I'm in.
Which one don't you care about?
How could I ever care about the Packers and 49ers?
Oh, yeah.
How could I ever care about that game?
I'm excited for all of them. This is the best weekend of the year for sports. Divisional Crown Weekend is the best.
Most of the play, who cares?
So, Cincinnati, Tennessee, the Titans are at home. They're 3.5-point favorites.
Does that make you nervous?
No, it makes me feel good.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So that's
a little bit nervous, because 3.5 is just what you get for being at home. That's a pickup.
I think you get 2 points right at home. 4 points, it's like they don't really know yet. You know, it's kind of like an in-between gray area. The Titans are healthy. The gang is all here. We got Taylor Lewan. We got Nate Davis. We got Jack Rabbit Jenkins. We got Christian Fulton. We got Bud Dupree.
Oh, yeah, baby.
We got Julio Jones. We got A.J. Brown. We got all 7 of our tight ends. The king is back. Derrick Henry's already prepared to take on 25-plus carries this weekend. The Titans are back. They're healthy.
Yeah. So, do you want... Are you done? Was that
That's
your
it. That's the preview. Okay, tying up, baby. We're healthy.
Okay. All right. If that's all you got for the Tennessee Titans, you're in a world of hurt. So, let me make sure I understand something. When did the last time Derrick Henry play?
Week 8, when they beat the Indianapolis Colts. And he didn't look right that game. He looked hurt the whole game. They still won.
So,
But before he got hurt, they swept the Colts. They beat the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. Yeah. They lost to the Cardinals in week 1 by like 31 points, and they lost to the Jets.
So, for me, this Tennessee Titans team, I think, is going to lose this weekend.
Then they're frauds.
I've never been confident in them, even when they had Derrick Henry, because I've always, even though you always disagreed, that if you shut down Derrick Henry, then they pretty much don't have anywhere to go. Because even the Julio thing,
He looked good against Houston.
He didn't look that good against Houston. Houston could have back and won.
Well, I mean, Tannehill missed him twice deep, but like Julio was open the entire game.
My thing is, it's hard to be able to trust the Tennessee Titans, because even with the Houston game, they just seem like that no matter what, they always want to be able to keep it close.
Yeah, of course.
But if they're wanting to keep it close against a team like the Cincinnati Bengals, who has a high-powered offense, who is able to put points up on the board, granted, they were a little bit shaky last week, but that's just the rust. That's the rust.
No. It's called we don't know how to play in the postseason, and our coach is afraid to go for and likes to kick field goals.
The Titans kicker is going to miss the field goal that's going to win the game.
Randy's been good this year. Don't besmirch Randy. Like he's been good. Him and his Cole Tinas have been good this year. I will say this about the Titans.
You just heard too much of it.
Look, the thing about the Titans is that they have to win every game in a stupid way. Nothing can be normal. Everything has to be bizarre. It has to be surreal. But they've been the postseason. They know how to play in big games. They know what it takes to win a game like this. The Bengals, they almost blew a game they should have won by 21 points, that Raiders team. That was an embarrassing win. They let them back in it. They consistently kick field goals against the awful red zone offense. You know, I just don't have a lot of like faith in the way that they were playing last week. And also, I just think it's a bad matchup for them too. So going back here to Derrick Henry, 6-2 when he was healthy, 28.3 points a game. Without Derrick Henry, they went 6-3, scored 21.3 points a game, so a full touchdown less. And then also at one point they were 3-3 without Henry. Then they proceeded to beat San Francisco, the Dolphins. They destroyed the Miami Dolphins and beat the Texans to clinch the one seed in the division and everything else. But the reason why I think this is a bad matchup for the Bengals is that they have problems defending the outside zone, especially when they go to like lighter, empty boxes and they play nickel. They have problems in that regard. They have one linebacker you have to really worry about. against the outside zone. That's Jermaine Pratt. And, like, the key for, like, their zone game is to get up to the second level and block Pratt, which they have the guards to be able to do so. Reader is, like, playing nose tackle in the 3-4, and so I'm not, like, really concerned about him against the outside zone defense. And the second thing is that the Bengals can't pass protect on the interior. They have a bad center. They have two bad guards in pass protection. The reason why they don't have a right tackle because Prince has had to replace Reif, and now they're going against Jeffrey Simmons, who's the second-best defensive tackle in the NFL, Danico Autry, and they're also getting Harold Landry and Bud Dupree, and I think they're going to put Autry in the interior next to Simmons, too, and Tyler Tartt may play also. And the Titans, whenever they beat, like, really good teams like Los Angeles, like Indy, I mean, I don't mean Indy at all. I don't mean that. Buffalo.
What are you talking about? You said Indy was a good team. You can't take it back. I heard it.
Buffalo, Kansas City, is because they got a great pass rush from their front four. And I think they should be able to do so in this game with four parts of their offensive line struggling in pass protection.
All right. So after everything you just said, this is the only thing I'm going to
change your mind.
No, you didn't actually.
You're swimming.
So I have some next level stats here because I get them from my insider, of course. Where, man, you know Vrabel? 4-0 off bye weeks.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Do you know Vrabel is 8-0 when getting extra time off, meaning more than 7 days?
That sounds good.
Those are the two stats that I would probably lean on if I am a Titans fan, but I am not. Granted, they have the whole gang back. You have stats like that. It's so hard for me to be confident in this team. And I don't know what it is, but I just have zero. I have zero type of momentum where I think that they're a team that needed that type of time away to be able to get healthy, to be able to have the perfect game plan. I just don't like the Tennessee Titans.
I know you don't. And they proved you wrong all year long.
Nah, maybe. I mean, I'm not gonna say they're really. It's they've gotten lucky with some things there.
Yeah, that's the. They don't. The Titans don't get lucky. That's just how they play the game.
So is that why they lose every year in the playoffs? Is because that's how they play the game?
Just about
because
every team loses every year in the playoffs. One team wins it all.
Well, Tom Brady wins every year.
He wins like 90% of the years.
That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, most teams lose in the playoffs. That's how it works.
Is that how it works? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the Tennessee Titans and them having out, so do you think with Derrick Henry back that that's going to cause any type of force feeding one way or the other, or then it's panic mode? Or do you think that this is going to be just the perfect outing from this offense where we're going to see it like the beginning of the year where it's boom, boom, domination from Derrick?
Well, I think Derek's going to be really good already this weekend. But even, like, if he's rusty and doesn't look fully right, they still have Deontay Foreman, who's been a good outside zone back. Dontrell Hilliard has been good, too. And I think, like, a certain way, like, losing Henry has been able to be, like, good for him in a way where they still got the one seed, they still got home field advantage, and they were able to rest him to a certain extent. But also, like, they found out how to win with other parts of their offense now, too. And so I think Tannehill has a better connection with Brown and some of his other receivers. I think he's had more reps out of the shotgun than he would have had otherwise. And also they don't have to give Henry 30 carries now. He doesn't have to get every carry in this offense because, like, Foreman has a rhythm, Hilliard has a rhythm, and they've had carries behind this offensive line now too.
So I'm going to now go in reverse because I get everything you're saying. I just think that, Matt, who would you rather have, Joe Burrow, Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, I'd rather have Burrow, but I'd rather have the Titans offense in this game than the Bengals offense. Like, I think the Titans have a better matchup against this Bengals defense. And, like, Eli Apple sucks, and they're going to have a lot of matchup opportunities against their second cornerback. Like, their safety play hasn't been very good this year. They're having a Jesse Bates have him play wide receiver. They like to play nickel with Mike Hilton blitzing off the edge. And then I don't know how much they're going to be able to play it. My really biggest concern about the Titans offense as a Titans fan is Todd Downing's been a bad play caller this year at times. Like, his first two, like, game scripts offenses usually are pretty bad. They don't run a play action, and so he's had some struggles this year, even though he was better down the stretch. Like, he did improve down the stretch, and that's, like, my biggest concern is just, like, Downing pooping his pants. Henry doesn't look right. They're getting, like, 2 yards a carry. Tannehill's having problems dealing with edge pressure. And everything's kind of like going haywire because Ja'Marr Chase is like, you know, two big touchdowns early on, you know.
And that's what I just keep feeling like Bengals are going to have that type of breakout game. But I mean, what you saw last week against the Raiders, there's no way that that could give anybody true confidence because the game seems like it should have been a lot closer. People were even questioning, isn't the officiating crew not allowed to like officiate now?
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah.
What do you think about the whistle thing? They stopped playing. I don't think it mattered.
Me neither.
But they did stop playing. And like the rule's the rule, you know? Like they all stopped.
It's a weird type of situation. And I will say though, I mean, it's a pretty big bad boo-boo, but for you to truly be banned from like being able to ref the rest of the playoffs, that's actually a pretty big blow, because isn't that like good bonus money for them?
Yeah, and they couldn't spot the ball correctly. There's a ton of calls that just stopped the game. Like the game had no flow at all because of how bad of a job that they did whenever they were like calling. Like the game was really disjointed because the referees in that game, you know.
Well, yeah, and I mean, especially when it was already kind of stalled with just it being a kicking game with all the field goals. It's just because I think they even have the record now. It was just an interesting one, to say the least. I was disappointed overall because, like what I even predicted last week, I thought that Bengals would have had and came out with a really strong offensive performance. Mixon did not look good.
And I think Mixon's going to have a lot of problems against this front, too. The Titans have a really good outside zone defense, and the Bengals run a lot outside zone. Like, the Bengals are going to win this game if they pass protect well, and Burrow doesn't take like four or five sacks and isn't murdered, and then Chase breaks some big touchdown runs, and Uzoma's up the flat of the seam. Like, it really just comes down to their pass protection, and I'm going with the Titans pass rush. Like, the Titans pass rush has been dominant against the Rams, against the Chiefs, against the Bills, against the Dolphins. You know, it's been an incredible unit a lot of times this year, and I just don't like the Bengals pass rush from their left guard, center, right guard, right tackle.
Well, and I completely understand that, too. And it's funny because that's where you and I are kind of going against each other, where I'm putting my money that Joe Burrow is going to be the better quarterback than Tannehill.
Yeah, you're worried about if you like the Titans like I do, you're worried about Burrow and Chase going schizo mode and Jackrabbit Jenkins, you can't find the ball and they're missing tackles in the secondary and everything else. But I have a little bit of concerns about that, and they play one versus one, but their safeties are pretty good, and they're able to limit some yards after the catch, you know.
I'm still not a believer, and I still think that Higgins is going to have more than one catch. And, I mean, I just think this could be a really high-scoring game, which is really what I'm hoping for out of these two teams.
The Titans don't let that happen, though.
I think they are going to if they get desperate because they have to catch up because the Bengals' offense have pulled away too quickly.
Maybe. All right, so I'm going Titans 31, Bengals 13.
Wow, you are saying slaughterhouse.
I'm saying slaughterhouse.
All right, so.
And also, if the Chiefs beat the Bills and the Titans beat the Bengals, the Titans are going to beat the Chiefs in the postseason this year.
No, I'm still not that. I'm still not on that board. That's too much. If Big Brother is going to beat me, I'm scared.
They already beat them this year. It's like Buffalo. Yeah. They already know they can beat them now.
I'm so glad regular season means
but
the exact
But they know
same.
They can beat them now.
It doesn't mean anything in regular season. Especially when it's the AFC Championship game.
They still know they can beat them.
All right. So I'm going to go Bengals here, 37. And I'm going to go the Tennessee Titans, 33.
Oh, all right. What a crazy game.
I'm going to have a little bit of a shoot. Again, I'm expecting some high scoring. I'm hoping it is. I really don't want another field goal fest.
Yeah, well, that's what you're going to get when you watch the Bengals play football. They're going to kick a lot of field goals because they're cowards and they're afraid to go for it.
The good news is that Fatty Bullock is not going to be able to hit field goals, so it better not turn into a kicking game.
Well, you have Derrick Henry, so you don't even need to kick field goals. So, All right, so the night game, Saturday night. It's Saturday night from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We have the Niners, Packers. The Packers are 6-point favorites. There's a lot of weird things here for the Niners that have made me feel like I want to bet my whole life on the Packers to being uncomfortable.
I understand what you're saying, and it's because whenever you go back to all the Green Bay losses and what they've struggled against, the ideal team that does these things is the 49ers.
Yeah.
So you would think that the Packers, and because I think even in that, maybe I'm wrong, I need to look up, but haven't they always had like always close matchups between each other?
Well, so last year the Packers beat them up pretty good. That's because Nick Mullins was the quarterback. This year they won 30-28 because Aaron Rodgers had game-winning drive with 37 seconds left in week 3.
Yeah.
And then there was, of course, the NFC Championship game in 2019 when the Niners won like 35-10.
I just feel like that I could see it happening of what you said, the 30-28 with the Rodgers having the game-winning. And that would make more sense, even though I'm still expecting it to be a blowout, because Jimmy G has even said in the reports saying that his shoulder and his arm throwing is still all weird and messy.
I think he's just saying that to make... I think it's an excuse.
I know he is. I watched him last game. He is just awful. But that's why it's so hard for me to bet on the 49ers, because their run game should be able to take advantage of the Packers, where it makes you question, well, can the Packers be able to stay in? What if Aaron goes 3 and out, then he gets frustrated, then he starts pointing fingers, then everybody starts throwing their hands up? That's a situation that can really occur. It's just, am I going to bet on Jimmy?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to bet on Jimmy. And that's what I hate about Dallas even losing, is because all Jimmy wanted to do last week was say, oh, no, guys, we're too far ahead. We got to let them come back. Jimmy was trying to help me.
I know. And it's like, I think the hard thing, too, about this now, it's like we've watched so many playoff games over the years. That's like you've seen how a bad playoff game goes. And it's like you're seeing your thing about how the game's going to go, and you just see like how it looks whenever it goes really bad, and sometimes it does. But the thing about that game in 19, that was just a better Niners team in general.
What?
They had DeForest Buckner. They had a better pass rush on that team. Their defense was healthier with that team. Their offense had a better run game. They threw the ball probably even a little bit better than this as well, too. Their offensive line, I don't think is as good as it is this year, but it's like that was a much better Niners defense than the one that we have right now. And so, but like you mentioned about the stuff the Niners are good at, the Packers have some problem with play action. The Niners are great running off the edges. The Packers have had a lot of problems against edge runs this year. They've had problems with the 49ers before. Also, they play a lot of zone coverage. They get a front four pass rush. They don't blitz. They're able to, consistently create pass rush to their front four. I assume Nick Bosa is going to play this week, too. And so that's a concern. They cover well with their linebackers. And, it's hard. It's hard because it's like you would think with how Rodgers is, how we watched the Niners play this year, Garoppolo, the Packers just come in and just, like, blow them out. But there's just so many little things here about this matchup that spin the face of that,
Well, yeah, no, and what's funny is, because you even mentioned it, they are going to be having their players come back. So they have Fred Warner, they have Nick Bosa.
They have to play.
So with them two already coming back and them not having on the injury report here, this is the thing about this game. Everything is on Rodgers.
Yeah.
I get that he's supposed to be, but I just don't see a season where he has more pressure than what he is. Because not only do people want him to lose, like me, but it's also he's about to win his fourth MVP, has one single Super Bowl, talks all the mad crap in the world, where the Packers have truly said, all right, Aaron, we'll do anything you say. Just please don't yell at us too much.
Yeah.
It's weird because now Aaron is supposed to deliver, where the 49ers are coming in where you and I are laughing, where it's like, oh, they're banged up. Oh, they got Jimmy. The 49ers have truly nothing to lose, or they could pull out everything, which it seems like Shanahan would be that guy to do it, where Rodgers could be a little stiff here, where there could be a lot of forcing to Devontae. That's what I'm saying, is that if somehow the 49ers can shut down Devontae, oh, we got a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key part, but they don't have the cornerback play to shut down Devontae. You know what I mean?
Well,
and Devontae is really smart. He's able to find holes in zone coverage well. I also think, too, now with the way the bracket's set up, The NFC is going through AJ Dillon. Like, with how they've used their run game this year and how impossible it is to tackle, they run a really great balanced offense. It's hard for a defense to be able to really feel comfortable one way or the other. And so it kind of leads to late drops, all play action, things like that. The Niners are built pretty, they run like a really balanced defense as it is. They don't like commit to one way or the other like the Rams do. And so that makes it a little bit trickier too. But I think Dylan's going to have a good game though in this one. Like the Rams run defense is just okay. And then Aaron Jones should play too. But the other thing about the Packers is that Jair Alexander may be out, but you know, the Niners offense is all crossing routes. So you don't have a lot of pure man coverage against them. And Za'Darius Smith may play this week too. And Smith has been out all year. He's a premier pass rusher. He's really great setting the edge. And then you have Preston Smith and Gary and Za'Darius Smith outside. And that can make it, that would make a big difference in this game too.
No, completely.
And I love Za'Darius. He's like if Jadeveon Clowney actually produced in the box score. They're the same person.
Yeah, except we're never gonna have a Clowney watch again though,
hey,
right?
5.5 sacks this year.
We're never gonna have a Clowney watch again.
I think that was my prediction for the Browns though, was Jadeveon Clowney will have 5 sacks this year. Let me see what he finished with exactly.
I'm gonna laugh so hard if it's not 5. And you just made that number up just to say.
No. Oh no. Damn. He had 9.
What?
He had 9 and 19 quarterback hits and 11 tackles for a loss.
He probably had like 3 in one game.
This was his best year since 2017. No, he had 2 against Pittsburgh, 2 against Cleveland, or 2 against Pittsburgh, 2 against Cincy down the stretch, and 1.5 against Baltimore. But he had 3.5 for a long time there.
So you're trying to tell me that I have to deal with another Clowney watch next year?
Yeah, I hope he stays in Cleveland too. You know how old Jadeveon is?
I'm going to say 28.
Yeah, he's going to be 29 next year. Good guess.
You like that? I know my stuff.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame we only have one watch a day on season.
But I agree with what you were saying about Dylan, where I think that the Packers
are so good.
He is.
He's such a good pass catcher, too.
It's.
Have you ever seen what he looks like without his pads on?
No.
He doesn't look that big. He really doesn't. And then he puts the pads on. It's like, this is the biggest man in the entire world.
Oh, he looks like a very nice, prominent gentleman.
Yeah, he looks really nice. Like, I would love to hang out with him. I would love to go to Home Depot with him.
He looks like he's 33.
Yeah.
He looks like a father of, like, somebody I would go and visit.
Yeah, he looks like you're, like, if you're taking your kid to, you know, YMCA basketball game, you become friends with A.J. Dillon. He's a dad of with another kid on the team, you know? Well, you're just there, like, to go watch the basketball game because you love the sport, not because you have a kid playing at all.
That's so
what?
Funny.
I just love basketball.
What? What's your problem?
What's wrong with that? I just love basketball. I was picking up my kid, and there is a billboard for the middle school. It was like, Bradley Nimitz Tennis 430. It's like, could I just go there if I wanted to? Just sit there and watch middle school tennis?
You can, but you have to be wearing one of the school shirts.
It's really weird that you can do that.
By the way, you should also wear like a button with a child's picture on it. And it could just be like a random child. Doesn't even have to be your child, just to see like if somebody notices.
And cheer really loud and make that kid's day, you know?
Yeah, except when they come and arrest you.
Or have a shirt with the kid playing, take a picture of him, put it on the shirt, and you don't know the kid. It's like, I just love watching him play. He's great.
I think he's going to be the next big thing.
And then that guy's dad's there like at the tennis match like, what is this? You're wearing, you know. It's like, what is I was like, I just love watching your son play tennis.
And his kid's the worst one in the class. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Bad. It's
you're
bad
going
stuff.
To hell.
We're just here to support, you know, our local athletes. But, like, I mean, at the end of the day, I think this game comes down to the fact that Aaron Rodgers is the MVP again this year. He's incredible. This has been his best, one of his best years ever. He's been angry. He's been a complete, he's done everything he can to make everybody's mad as possible. I think he's fueled off of hatred. I just think he's going to have a great game. And I'd rather pick Aaron Rodgers than Jimmy Garoppolo, regardless of their edge defense, their problems against the play action, the Niners defense being fully healthy, some of the stuff about how the Niners defense has posed problems for a balanced offense, like we mentioned, the fact that they don't overcommit one way or the other. And so I'm going Green Bay 26, San Francisco 17.
Yeah, so like you said, I can make all the arguments in the world. I could say anything I want, saying that 49ers are going to be healthy. They're going to catch them off guard. Jimmy G, best game of the life. But am I really going to believe that last one? Absolutely not. I have to pick the Packers, even though I hate Aaron. I'm picking the Packers. Man, I think 38, and I think the 49ers 17.
Jeez.
I can't see it, Matt. Because if Rodgers gets it going, I just can't see it, man.
And I think, and like, they're at home too. And I don't think like Rodgers is going to be like incredible. Yeah, I think he's going to be really good though.
Well, no, I think it's going to be like that cold. It's going to be 1 degree where then you're having a California team having to come into play in that. It's just setting up for the Rodgers success here.
Yeah, I think so too. And like the game they lost in the postseason, like we picked that one. We thought, I mean, the Packers offense wasn't that good that year. They won close games, and Matt LaFleur needed an extra year. But now they've completely turned around. Like, this is a really great, like, LaFleur's grown a ton as a head coach. This is a really great, you know, coached offense as well, too. So, yeah, Saturday is supposed to be a high of 20 degrees, a low of negative one.
Okay, all right. So I was trying about the one a little bit.
Yeah, Jesus. It's cold here right now, you know?
Dude, it's freezing here.
Gosh.
I have like three heaters on me right now.
So by the time kickoff is, it's supposed to be 11 degrees.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Have fun, Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, that shoulder's going to be feeling real nice.
Yeah, we'll see you in Houston in 2022.
Yeah, your dream.
So the Sunday afternoon game, we have Los Angeles Rams going down to Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are 3-point favorites. So this is another game similar. So this is like the rock, paper, scissors thing here. This theory I've been talking about lately where the Rams are the rock, the Bucs are the scissors, and the Packers are the paper. And the Cowboys are the putty, and they got, you know, they dropped it and it rolled over the floor and got a bunch of dog hair in it. The Rams consistently play the Bucs really well. The last 2 years they played, even with Jared Goff, they beat them. They play the Bucs well. They do a good job, you know, running the ball, setting up play action, attacking their single safety sets. The Bucs don't have a cornerback that can play man coverage since Cooper Kupp. Odell Beckham is finally, like, you know, turned into a competent number two wide receiver. And this is a team that has the cornerback play to be able to, you know, take advantage of the shorter stuff that the Bucs run, and like the deeper play action shots just don't work as well against the two high safety defense that the Rams play right now too.
All right. So full disclosure, what the Rams did against the Arizona Cardinals, I'm happy for them, but that showed me absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I was just more embarrassed by the Cardinals' game plan on offense.
That was the worst, like, that was easily probably the most disappointing, because you would think that there'd be some type of showing and maybe keep it a little bit competitive, especially because they're divisional teams. But this is why it's so hard for me to believe in the Rams, especially in this game, because last game, come on, it was more like the Cardinals were thrown off that they had Cam Akers. It's like once they saw Cam Akers on the field, like, is that allowed? Is this guy to be back? I don't know what to do. The fact that Matthew Stafford only completed 13 passes.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to believe in that?
Okay, I see that. I liked what they did offensively. Considering, like, let's take pressure off of Stafford. It's his first playoff game to win. You know, let's get him the easy one. Let's make it as simple as possible, you know. But I'm still flabbergasted by the Cardinals playing this defense that has their third string safeties out there, where Eric Weddle was signed in emergency fashion, and they did not stretch him at all. Not one bit at all. It was run, Kyler Murray run for his life and throw incompletions.
Yeah, that's all it was, which is why it makes the Dallas losing to Arizona so much worse. Arizona just completely fell off the tracks there.
Well, it's because they lost Hopkins, and they had no. Now their third, fourth, and fifth wide receivers no longer got single coverage.
Still, you would think with all the weapons, I mean, you would think they would be able to do something, not just get blown out where Stafford throws 13 of 17. And it's like even Odell completed a 40-yard pass. It's just...
That was hilarious. That was the same one he threw with the Giants, too. It was the exact same play.
If you are a Rams fan, I just don't see how you could be confident going up against the Bucks. And I get what you're saying. It's just they're going to force Stafford to throw. And Stafford's going to throw a pick. Mm. And it's all about if Tom Brady plays the game that Tom has. If Tom Brady turns it over, then yes, I think the Rams are going to win. But am I betting that Tom Brady's going to turn the ball over? Absolutely not. And if he doesn't turn the ball over, Matthew Stafford is the one that makes the mistakes because it's going to turn into a shootout. I just think, once again, the Bucs defense may destroy Matthew Stafford.
So you think they're going to high blitz?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You
every
think
time.
They're going to play three safety sets like they did against Philly to be able to be able to limit their outside zone game, their stretch game?
That's exactly what I think they are going to do.
Because that's what they did to Philly. They played three safeties. And they have the overhangs, and they were able to spill things out wide and allow their safeties to go and make tackles in the flat. Like, I don't think Akers is particularly good. And Michelle's not good. You know, they're just like, they are able to block the outside zone well and make cuts and everything else. But I think they're going to promise run the ball this game, too.
No, I completely agree. Which now you're getting into, is Odell going to be that second guy still that you can rely on? Which is where I'm going to be most excited for, because I agree with what you said at the beginning there, where Kupp is going to get his. The Odell thing is the one that I'm going to be most interested in, because Stafford's going to be force-feeding some people. And that's where this is going to be. I expect Stafford to throw 40 passes this game.
I agree with that. I mean, for Tampa, though, it kind of goes back to like how these games have gone before. Brady hasn't beat Los Angeles yet, and what they've done is they played double high safeties. They take away the deep passing game Tampa has, and the play action is in the same level effect. And they've been able to, you know, suck up their run game pretty well, even with their lighter boxes that they run, which is surprising because like, when they play Tampa last year, their offensive line was fully healthy. This game, Tristan Wirfs may not play. So now you have Leonard Floyd and Von Miller going up against a backup right tackle who had a really bad game against Philadelphia the week before, where he was really kind of out of his element too. And they just do a good job, like, forcing Brady to play, like, a short, quick, methodical passing offense, which he can do. He just hasn't done it against Los Angeles just yet.
And completely fair to be able to say, because, to
like,
your point,
Brady needs
the Rams
to throw the ball, like, 45 times and have, like, a 80% completion percentage.
Which is completely possible if he has still Giovanni Bernard out there to catch those nine little swing passes.
I hate the name Giovanni. It sounds like a big old wart whenever I hear Giovanni. I just
sounds
think
of, like Italian.
I just think of a nose with a giant wart on it.
That's not what I think of at all.
That's what I think of. It's probably something from my childhood, some repressed memory.
I think, though, that with the Buccaneers having their type of offense, I agree, they're going to have to get the ball out quick, which Brady can do. It's very hard to be able to have confidence in the Bucs when their offense is a little depleted at this time, where the weapons are getting fewer and fewer. It's just, I think Brady has been in this type of situation so many freaking times where he doesn't
have...
So,
like, what you're saying right now is what I was trying to say about the tight ends in the Bengals game. But now you're saying, yeah, it is. But now you're saying about the Bucks playing the Rams, which I'm not disagreeing with. I think it's a valid point in, you know, this time of the season.
But when it comes to the I'm comparing Tom. Tom is Tom. I can never bet against Tom. That is the issue I always have, because until you show me otherwise, I can't do it. Because I think even the stats and everything point to the Rams being able to point this out. It's just, what is the point spread here? Did you say 3?
Yeah. You know who the last team to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs is?
Hold on. Is it the Bills?
The Tennessee Titans.
Damn it! Oh, God, I hate you so much for knowing that stat now. I would love a type of rematch in the Super Bowl just so then I could just have the tears coming down from your face as Tom just takes everything you love away.
I'd be fine with that.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be devastated.
I like the Bucks. Like, it'd be different if it was like... I mean, I don't hate any team in the NFC at all right now. The Rams are kind of annoying to me, but, like, I don't know.
The Rams,
it's the LA thing, you know?
Well, that's true, too, because all of a sudden... I think McVay talks a little bit too much. I just love Stafford so much that's why it's hard for me to root that much against them. It's hard for me to have... He had his first playoff win last week.
Yeah.
And he threw 13 passes.
Yeah, good for him.
I mean, I
like what McVay did for him. Is like, look, Kyler can't play against this. They had the field position battle won the entire game. Like, every Cardinals drive started less than their own 10-yard line. But the Rams offensively here, I know it's going back here to Stafford. They don't have an answer for Kupp, and then they're going to have problems covering, you know, Beckham too. I think they're going to cover Higbee well. They're going to cover their screen game well. They're going to cover their, like, horizontal passing game well. But the other thing is, the key for the Rams this game, though, is to run the Buccaneers into single high safeties and then hit your play action shots to Van Jefferson. That's the key to this game. That's what the whole game comes down to. Can the Rams run the Bucs into single high? And when they're in single high, can they hit some deep passes off of it? That's the key to this game.
Yeah, but they don't like Van Jefferson. They'll do anything they can.
He gets one catch for 75 yards every game.
Yeah, but they just don't want to, like, have to throw him the ball. I get what you say, like, there's always that one, but they don't want to keep having to do that.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying if they get one with him, like they got that one big one to Deshaun Jackson, their earlier matchup this year. They just need one big one to Van Jefferson, and they take advantage of single high shots, get shots against single high. I think that's the key of this game for it. I'm going Los Angeles. I'm going with the Rock. I'm thinking the Rocks and beat the Scissors. I'm going Rams 33, Bucks 26.
All right, so I don't think that I would call the Buccaneers Scissors, and in fact, I think I would call them the Cockroach, where no matter what, they are going to survive. So the Buccaneers, I think, will pull this out with Stafford throwing and turning the ball more than Tom Brady. I'm going to have the Buccaneers at 35, and I'm going to have the Rams at 31.
Oh, all right.
I have close games this week because I actually really am looking forward to the Bucs and the Rams.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying at all. I completely understand where you're coming from. I'm just... Like, this is just how it's been the last 2 years. I think the reason why it's happened makes perfect sense as far as the schemes they run, the talent they have, the matchup. I think it's a bad matchup for them. And the Niners, like we talked about the other day, the Niners at your house when I came and saw you, the Niners beating the Cowboys opened the door for the Packers to make the Super Bowl because now they don't have to play the Buccaneers.
Because that's actually what my dream is, and that's why I'm picking the Bucs, is because, to your point, if the Rams have to go to Lambeau...
They're going to lose by 21 points.
There's just no way in freaking hell that is going to happen, that they're going to be able to pull that out. But if Aaron has to go up against Tom...
Again.
Oh, my God. Aaron will be so angry before the game even starts. Because, it'll be the best just to lose again to the guy that'll always be better than you, Aaron. How does it feel? Go to the horse track. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby, loser.
All right. That's a spicy storyline. I still can't get over them having, like, what was it? It was like 4th and 6, and Rodgers has that open field and he throws it away. And it's like, just run for it, slide, have 4th and 2. Go for it. But I think he was kind of told going into, it's like, we're kicking a field goal here. And so he's like, well, I have to throw to go for it because we're kicking a field goal. And they should have gone for that for sure. Like, all the coaches that were cowards last year, they all lost. And they all deserve to lose.
All I know is that Aaron Rodgers had a boo-boo because, yes, the 3rd and 6, where all he had to do was run up the middle and he would have had it.
Well, he wouldn't have gotten it, but he could have slid and they would have 4th and 2 instead of 4th and 6. It would have been fairly close. And then what was weird about last week is that all the teams that were cowards, they won. The teams that didn't go for it and kick field goals and punted, they end up being, you know, ending up just okay last week. So, Sunday night, the matchup of the century. We got Buffalo heading to Kansas City, where they beat them earlier this year by 2+ scores. The same field they lost to them last year at the AFC Championship game, where famously Stephon Diggs was watching them celebrate at the other side of the field, remembering that moment in preparation for this game. I talked about this game for an hour already earlier today. I'm kind of tired of talking about it, but I'm ready to keep talking about it.
So you're going to be really surprised by me here. We're going to have the same pick.
All right.
I'm not picking Patty here. I'm not picking the Kansas City Chiefs, because at this point, this is also another team I have a big issue with when it comes to the confidence scale.
Okay.
How am I supposed to feel confident in the Kansas City Chiefs when they went up against who? The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah. They spent two quarters, or a quarter and a half, just screwing around, missing open throws, having drop passes, having two turnovers. Not even against a good team would it beat the Chiefs last weekend.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
They've been doing it all year. Like, last weekend wasn't like a one-off strange, like, oh, the Chiefs don't look like themselves. They have been doing that all season long.
Oh, this season, and even all of their games have been close. You know what the one team, or I'm sorry, two teams they've been able to blow out is the Raiders and the Steelers. Every other game been close this season for them.
And Drew Lock.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you? Well, even that, I mean, think they only beat them by like four or something.
Well, they played them the first time they played them, they beat them.
Well, the first time they played them around. Okay, yeah. But even that was still, I mean, it was only 22-9.
I'd say it's not incredible. Well, and there was a conversation earlier today too about the Chiefs, you know, performance down the stretch, and is this defense for real and that sort of thing. I was like, just look at the schedule. You know, when their defense was struggling earlier in the year, they played Lamar Jackson when the Ravens had their best passing attack they've ever had. They played Tennessee at full health. They played Buffalo, and who did they stop? Jordan Love, Daniel Jones. The best game they have is against Dallas, and they had two turnovers earlier in that game, and they had a lot of pressure in the interior. Even Herbert played well against them. They had the big game against the Raiders, but the Raiders had the DeSean Jackson fumble, you know, and they had the other interception in the first half that became a blowout after that. There isn't like a really impressive, like, it's more about the opponent that they had down the stretch, not really their defense performance at all, you know.
And it's going to sound very weird that I'm saying this, and I don't care what any of the fans say of our million listeners, but the Chiefs just remind me so much of the Dallas Cowboys this season.
We have 6 million listeners.
I'm sorry. I always keep forgetting the number. It keeps jumping in during playoffs. But they just remind me so much of the Cowboys, where I'm tired with the Kansas City Chiefs on why they pissed me off at this point. Cut the cute crap out.
I hate the bowling ball screen pass touchdown. I hate that.
And you know what I can't wait for is for somebody to pick that off and to run it back for a touchdown. That will be the funniest freaking day for me.
The Watt double fumble touchdown is pretty close to that, though. Where they're trying to be cute. Oh, Travis Kelce's the quarterback.
And it's really bothering that even in a playoff. I don't know if it's because that's what Andy's like, this is how I get my team to have a good time. This is how we're out there having fun. It's like, you didn't do anything, and yet you guys are just trying to then rub it in the Steelers' face. It's the Steelers. You haven't beaten anybody this season, and if you did, it wasn't off of an impressive performance. It was barely.
I guess Dallas and the Chargers are their, like, big wins this year.
And the Chargers, they went to OT, and then the Cowboys are just awful on offense because they're just such a disappointment.
Yeah, they're 0-3 against the team still left in the AFC right now.
Yeah. So when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs now going up against the Buffalo Bills, watching the Buffalo Bills last week, I finally got to see the Bills team I've been wanting to see.
It was an avalanche.
But that's what I expect them to be. And even going into this game, I expect they're what you even acknowledged at the beginning of the segment, where you had Diggs standing at the end of the field watching them celebrate. where this is what the Bills have just been watching film over. This is like the San Antonio Spurs watching the Miami Heat make the three-pointer on them over and over again on the next season. This is where the Bills have been waiting for. So this is your moment. I am actually believing in you from what I've been watching. So don't let me down, because I would really hate if they lose to the – because I think the Bills are the better team overall than the Kansas City Chiefs.
They are the better team.
And it's going to bother me if the Bills struggle against their crappy defense.
Yeah. Well, like, so usually the Chiefs have a top 10 pass defense and the worst run defense in football. This year, they have a bad pass defense and a bad run defense that's no longer the worst in football. And, I mean, they're like, their secondary is kind of hard to watch because without knowing the playbook, it's hard to tell exactly what they're doing. But they run a lot like zone match and man match coverages, which are fun to watch. Like New England, who just tried to play cover one with the spy, and they're all running in coverage, and Josh Allen just ran past all of them. And it's like, oh, nobody's open. Okay, I'll just run. And I got 32 yards. And then, or he would just use his eyes to manipulate the safety or the cornerbacks to create downfield throws. Like he hit to Diggs and Sanders, that touchdown Sanders were like expert examples of eye manipulation. And against Kansas City, like they either play man coverage, which they don't have the cornerbacks to do, or they play zone coverage, and Allen's been great at using his eyes to manipulate defenses to create open throws. The Chiefs don't have a good front four pass rush. And really what the Chiefs are going to have to do this game, they're going to have to blitz a lot. They're going to have to send 5 and 6 consistently throughout this game. And the blitz is hard for Allen because it traps him in there. Like every gap is defended, and so he doesn't have the same level of space to run through. And that's really like the only thing defensive they have to offer to limit the Bills at all.
But, Matt, it's like what I told you last week, because he also had a big game against the Patriots. Dude, I think Devin Singletary has made such a gigantic difference with how he has been playing for Allen.
Yeah.
Because it's been able to take so much pressure off of him, where now the other team – I mean, for God, Singletary destroyed New England. He had 16 carries, 81 yards, 2 TDs.
That cut he had in the red zone was filthy.
Yes. And it's – in my opinion, it's like what I told you. It just makes Allen be more confident because he's not having to do everything, or they're not having to worry about all the QB sneaks. He's able to run it when he's not able to see the options open. That is when then he's able to make the decision, because I don't like all the QB sneak plays that they run. I'd rather just hand it to Singletary.
I like it because whenever they run the quarterback power run plays, you have an extra blocker. Whereas if you hand the ball to the running back, you miss a blocker because your quarterback's handing off. But like, I love it because they'll pull two guys and they'll also pull the running back with it. So Allen's turning the corner and he has three blockers in front of him. It's worked out great, you know. And they can also run the same place and hand to Singletary. And they run like counter option now too. But like, yeah, the Chiefs have their best part of their defense, their defensive tackles. Once you're outside the edges, though, they have problems. Their linebackers are better than years before, but they're kind of slow. They miss tackles. Their secondary misses a ton of tackles too, and they're able to run that power run game outside the tackles. And like you mentioned about their run game, Singletary's been great. They found their best offensive line combination, and they also changed from being an outside zone team back to being a power team. And now it's like they have this offense is unstoppable as far as like they can run the ball well and throw the ball well. And it's like not like last year is all Allen. This year they have a great pass defense, a great run defense, or a good run defense, a great rushing attack, and a top five passing attack.
Exactly, and that's what I think my biggest point that I'm trying to come across is the fact that Allen doesn't have to do everything. And I think
he still does at the same time though. Like he doesn't have to, but he still does.
But Matt, it's when he's not for like when he's not. Yeah. Like he's being forced to have to do everything, where then he comes out of the MVP level with what we were expecting to see this year, where last game against the Patriots, that's the Allen we were expecting every single game that was going to win the MVP. That's what both you and I expected him to be like, which is why going into this game, the fact that he's now going from one game to another, and even the one before that to another, he is now on a nice little pace here where they have a rhythm. And it's hard for me to pick against that rhythm where Kansas City, you're blowing out bad teams. That's all you got.
Yeah. Well, and I think Allen, too, like the Tampa Bay game, I think, is what kind of changed the Bulls' season. They lost in overtime, but they fell down early. Like, Allen pulled that team, you know, to tie it, and they lost because they had that DPI in the end zone they didn't call in that game that was a big change to it. But I think we're at the point now, too, with Allen. Like, whatever you consider his rushing ability and his passing ability, he's either as valuable of a player as Mahomes is or just as good as Mahomes is now, if not, like, a little bit less, a little bit better. But I think they're pretty much even this season whenever you consider his rushing ability, too. Like, Mahomes scrambles and everything like that, but he's not going to have 9 rushes for 85 yards, unlike Allen, which is what he's able to pull off sometimes, too.
From what I've watched, I have not seen Mahomes play as good of a game as what Allen played last game against New England.
No, that was like an all-time classic playoff game.
With this season, I have not seen Mahomes being able to have this. Again, in the past, of course Mahomes has, but this season, absolutely not. And it's so hard for me to want to buy into the Kansas City Chiefs because their defense, I just don't think is going to be able to stop anything. Where then, if you're having to rely on the offense of what? They're going to shut Tyreek down. So,
well,
if you should,
so why it's out this week, which kind of hurts that.
Why is Tre'Davious out?
He's hurt. Yeah, Tre'Davious is out. But Matt Milano's back. And I think Hill's going to have a good game. I just don't think Kelsey's going to have a good game.
Exactly. One of them's
and
not.
And so, like,
with...
I would rather have Hill have the good game where, like, you know, he catches 2 bombs or whatever, but, like, he's limited on first downs. But, like, Kelsey, that's your third down guy. And so last time they played, Kelsey had 6 catches. They had 3 holding penalties and a DPI on him, but he only had 6 catches. And they were able to really jam him with the line of scrimmage and limit his production. And Hill was really quiet in that game, just catching crossing routes and didn't get beat deep. I think it's all about you have Wallace on him, and you just play 10 yards off or whatever, and then you have your safety keyed on him. And it's all about bracketing and just jamming Kelsey at the line of scrimmage really well. But also, they have their backup right tackle in Andrew Wiley. So Kelsey's having to chip a whole lot now. And so Kelsey doesn't have the same level of releases that he's had earlier in the season with Yang out there, where he's more in the slot, more able to get free releases. Now he's having to chip because of that injury too.
And that's fair. If he's having to be able to block more, then that's definitely going to be able to take away his risk. It's just, like you said, no matter what, Patrick Mahomes is going to be looking at him on third down. Especially if it's like 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, you know where the ball is going to be going. So if Kelsey and Hill both have big games, I just think that the Bills somehow are going to lose this. But even if they just only have one of them go off, mm-hmm. I think the Bills have this. And I think that's just what they have to account for. It's just, okay, if this one beats us, we can't let this one beat us.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you can have one go off and have a great game, but you can't have two. And I'd rather have Hill have, like, a big game than Kelsey, just because, if Kelsey's having a big game, they're consistently converting third downs, and you're not getting off the field. And so, of course, you have to get off the field with the offense they have. They can give up, like, 2 big Hill touchdowns because of the offensive firepower they have of their own, too.
No, and that's fair, because you can automatically assume that if Kelsey's being fed the 12 to 14 targets, then obviously he's only getting like 8 to 12 yards, and that's just what's continuing the drives, making them longer. Do you think, though, do you have any fear whatsoever with the Kansas City's running game?
Not really. McKinnon's better than Edwards-Helaire is.
Well, no, I agree with
that. And they run like a lot of inside zone and duo. Like, the only concern I have is Creed Humphrey's really good, and he's really good at locking up the second level. And Tremaine Edmonds has had problems this year, making like tackles like 6-7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. That's really it, though. But they're like, Orlando Brown's probably the most overrated player in the NFL. He's slow. He's really slow. He gives up a lot of pressures. He was bad against Alex Highsmith last week. He's really high. He's strong as hell, but you can like run around him a lot. And then with the injury to Wiley, but their interior is still really good. And so you're kind of worried about inside zone runs, but. If they're killing you with that, it's because they've thrown you into like nickel. They've thrown you in a dime, and the Bills are primarily a nickel team. And I think the Bills can defend this run playing the nickel, though.
I completely agree. It's just funny because, yeah, it does seem like Jerick McKinnon has been going off these past few weeks for him, which, I mean, Kansas City, they just keep going through the running backs like they're candy. So
David Coley chewing gum.
That's exactly what it is. So, hey, you always got to have that big league chew in your mouth.
No, he likes the double bubble because he's a psychopath. That stuff sucks. That 10-cent Halloween pink bubble gum.
that goes stale so fast.
Yeah, he would chew like 25 of them a game.
He chews 25 of them a game?
Yeah, he's a maniac.
He has a smoking problem?
He's insane. It's because he has this big wet tongue that he's constantly chewing on, so he chews on the bubble gum instead.
It's a big wet tongue, which is why he chews on the bubble gum.
Yeah.
What has this show turned
she
into?
She got a big wet tongue. That's why she chews on that bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
Yeah, I'm really excited though. I'm very excited.
This is it. So you need to take the next, because again, it's even watching the teams. Buffalo should be the best team in this AFC. They just haven't shown it this season. Past few weeks, they have. Let's continue this.
Buffalo had the bad loss to Jacksonville, the bad loss to Indy because they got ran all over. The Jacksonville lost. They just didn't have the pat. Their offensive line was all screwed up.
Yeah,
They lost in the blizzard to New England.
Yeah. Lost the Titans. Lost the Bills.
They lost the Titans because Josh Allen slipped on the quarterback sneak.
That's true, too. I lost the Steelers first game.
Yeah, because they blocked a punt. Now, these aren't, like, bad, like, awful loss. Like, I think they're 0-6 in one-score games this year. Every win they have is plus 13 points.
Well, that's going to have to tell you what they're going to have to do then.
Yeah, I think they have to win a close game. And like, even then, the thing about Mahomes that's so annoying is that even after all of this, everything we've just said, Patrick Mahomes is still the best pure passer in the game. Hill and Kelce are Hall of Fame wide receivers. You're still in a situation where even against all of that, the Chiefs are still in it, and they still, you know, can probably win this game. And it just goes to time to talk about the Mahomes because the Chiefs' overall team isn't very good this year. No. It really isn't. And I think the offensive line step was still a mistake too. But I'm going Buffalo 31, Kansas City 30.
All right, you're going to love this. I got Buffalo 42. I have Kansas City 30.
All right.
Yeah, to your point, I don't think that – I'll put it this way. If it's a one-score game, I'm worried for Buffalo.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just think that if Patrick Mahomes gets the ball at the end, you're like, oh, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. I think they can get some edge rush as well, too, this game. Mahomes takes those big drop backs also. Like, Rousseau's fast. Hughes is fast. Addison's a good pass rusher. And then Milano. And hopefully they use Milano as a spy some of this game, too.
I didn't know White was out, though.
He tore his ACL against the Saints.
Damn!
He can still play, I think.
Hey, if Cam Akers could come back after an Achilles for 6 months, you could come back after a few weeks, you big baby.
Yeah, whenever like was thinking about White being, I'm like, are you sure he can't play? Like, come on. He should
can't
be able to play.
Put a stick in your boot.
But yeah, I mean, aside from White, though, the whole Bills team is healthy, though.
Which is good. Which is what you want. Because now there's no reason they should lose.
Yeah, and they have great safety play. Wallace isn't awful, you know. They've been playing Neal some, and he's all right. I'm excited for it, though. But yeah, I hope it's 42-30. I hope it's a two-possession win. But the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's just, again, you go back to how they played against real teams this year. They truly have only beaten out Raiders and Steelers.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, though, is we're going to get Titans-Bills, and we're going to get a Bills-Packers Super Bowl. And even the Bills lose this week, I think the Titans would beat the Chiefs next weekend.
It'll be a Bills-Bucks Super Bowl.
I'd be better. I picked Bills-Bucks to start the year, but just the way the bracket has kind of changed up.
My hope, though, is that it would be Cincinnati versus the Rams.
Yeah.
And Cincinnati wins.
What's the worst Super Bowl you can come up with?
Worst Super Bowl for me at this point?
San Francisco-Tennessee.
No, it would probably be Kansas City. And Green Bay.
Okay.
I would hate that Super Bowl. I know everybody would love it. Like, oh my God, Taylor, you suck. No, I don't want to watch douchebag versus douchebag. I'm the bigger douche in the league.
I don't think Mahomes is a douche. It's just the media coverage of him is.
Hey, you're related to the douche. You get
that's
to
fine.
The douche.
Oh, all just because right? of his brother.
And your wife, okay? You don't get a pass when it's both of them.
I don't have anything bad to say about his wife, but
his wife is just a big of a douche.
Yeah, I just hate the media coverage of him. I'll never forget watching Patrick Mahomes as a child singing a home video. Like, why is this part of the telecast?
Because Chris Collinsworth had that in his private video collection that he just had to pull out.
It's disgusting.
Hey, you guys want to see a tape? No, Chris!
Yeah, it's just Matthew McConaughey screaming in the background.
It's of all the quarterbacks when they're young. Hey, you want to see Peyton? No, Chris!
All right, this is fun. This is a great episode, I think. I think we nailed this. To recap, Tennessee, Cincinnati, the Titans are 3.5-point favorites at home. I have Tennessee 31-13. You have Cincinnati 37-33. San Francisco, Green Bay, Packers 6-point favorites. I have Green Bay 26-17. You have Green Bay 38-17. Saturday afternoon, Los Angeles, Tampa. Tampa's 3-point favorites. I have Los Angeles 33-26. You have Tampa 35-31. And then the game of the century, Bills, Chiefs. Chiefs at home, 2-point favorites. I have Buffalo 31-30. You have Buffalo 42-30.
I like mine.
I like mine too. I got two different ones.
I know. I'm just saying, you better hope, all right? You better hope you come back, because if you go down even further, woohoo!
I think the Tennessee-Tampa Bay one may be a wash.
That could be the case.
That's all I know. But if I go 4-0 and you go 2-2, I'm retired.
I know. I'm trying to give you a shot here, because I'm sticking, like I said, I'm going to stick by my beliefs here when it comes to Cincinnati, because I just can't do it. I've been trashing Titans all year. I can't do it.
Yeah, well, you'll learn to tighten up eventually.
I'm never going to tighten up. I'm loosey-goosey.
Well, so until next time, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Ballard Radio. Thank you for being on tonight, Taylor. And we'll be back next Thursday to preview the conference championships.
Enjoy Josh McCown, Titans fans, or Texans fans, whatever you are.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.